Thanks, Daryl. Daryl read from the voice translation last night. Well done to Daryl. He's been at both our 11 p.m. service and this morning at 9:30. He read from the voice translation last night. I didn't know that John Farnham had released a translation of the Bible, but that's it. So, Merry Christmas again. I've gone overboard with the Christmas decorations on the PowerPoint. I hope you appreciate that. Okay, just joking. Merry Christmas. Maybe you've got one of these at your place, and maybe up until sometime this morning, it looked like that, with presents neatly wrapped underneath. Maybe it doesn't look like that, and maybe now your recycling bin is full, I don't know. Or maybe that's yet to happen. I think at our house it's yet to happen because, well, I wandered off very early this morning to come up here. But we're in Isaiah, and Isaiah is a funny place to be at Christmas time, so let me just explain why we're in Isaiah as we think about this. We're looking at this idea of God with us this Christmas, and each Christmas we look at a gospel, and we're looking at Mark's gospel this year, but Mark's gospel doesn't actually have the Christmas story. And so what we thought we'd do is we'd look in the Old Testament, and we've looked at Proverbs, and we looked at Micah, and last night Chi looked at Isaiah for us. And we're in Isaiah again this morning. Isaiah was a prophet, and he was, well, she said about 600 years, but I actually think it's closer to 700 years before Jesus. I drew that line for you. I hope you like it. I drew it freehand. And so that was just to show there's this gap between Isaiah and what he says about Jesus and Jesus of about 700 years, which is quite amazing. And it says a couple of things to us. One of the things it says to us is this, that in the time of Isaiah, 700 years before he would send his son, God was excited. He was so excited 700 years before that he had to tell somebody about it. And so he told Isaiah, and Isaiah told his people. God was excited. Why was God excited about his son Jesus being born and coming into the world? Well, I think it's because the world was in a bad state, and God really loves the world, and he wanted what was broken to be fixed. He wanted what was wrong to be put right. Now, I was thinking about this during the week and this idea of injustice, because I don't know if you've noticed, there's a lot of the idea of justice in this reading this morning. And I Google image searched injustice, and I think the top 100 images that came up was the DC Justice League with, you know, Superman and Wonder Woman and Batman and so forth, which is interesting because at this time of year, we all are reminded that Batman smells. But there's this idea in the Justice League, I sort of picked up on it as these images came up, was this idea that these gods that live with us are here to fix the injustice. There's something deep down in us that wants the idea that the injustices and the wrongs of this world are going to be fixed, and we sort of seem to recognize that we can't do it ourselves. We can only do it if we put our underwear on the outside, and then maybe we can do it. Now, I was there's some history, obviously, to DC and Marvel and different comics and so forth. They go quite old. But in 1986, this surprised me when I typed in Injustice. This did not come up. But in 1986, there was a movie, The Three Amigos. And does anybody remember The Three Amigos? It was a great movie. If you haven't seen it, don't bother. But they had this catchphrase, didn't they? Where there is injustice, we will be there. They were there to fight injustice. The irony in the movie is where there is injustice, they will be there, probably because they caused it. But that was the reality, the Three Amigos. But what about God? Because at Christmas Day, on Christmas time, we were reminded that God comes near to us. God is with us in some way. And one of the things that we've been looking at over the last few weeks is this idea as we lead into Christmas and God is with us, is that God is enough and that he's here. God is enough and he is here. We looked at the idea that God is enough and he is here and he brings peace. And then last night, Chi, as he looked earlier on in Isaiah, looked at the idea of how he brings peace, but he also brings he brings joy. And this morning in this passage, we've got this idea of justice. And so last night we looked at joy, which was ironic because this morning we have twice as much joy as we had last. We didn't have joy present in person, but we have joy present twofold, Joy Clark and Joy Nell, which is a beautiful thing. But this morning, we're actually just for a moment sitting with that idea of how God being near does something about justice and injustice. If you want a definition of injustice that goes beyond a comic, it's a lack of fairness or justice. It's unjust act or occurrence. It's essentially a wrong. Something is not right when there is an injustice. There is a wrong. And sometimes, you know how we can feel angry, but we don't know exactly why we're angry sometimes? Because sometimes we're not good at sort of linking our feelings in with actually what's happening. But usually the thing that is behind anger is that there's been a wrong, there's been an injustice. And sometimes it's not actually an injustice, but it feels like one, or we may have interpreted it as one. But there's this reality that an injustice is a wrong that has occurred. And the world is full of them. I don't know if you've noticed, the world is full of wrongs and injustices. And we seem to, as societies around the world, generated a way to respond to injustices. And usually, sadly, our response actually brings more injustice sometimes because we're so full of anger ourselves. Maybe to put it in a way while none of the kids are watching, our feelings get quite big and we rage. And maybe we don't rage like somebody who hasn't learnt yet to hold it in. But if we've learnt to hold it in, we'll find that that rage will leak out in some way. And that's because we're in a broken world. And the way we've adopted to fix it is usually we meet aggression with aggression. We meet injustice with injustice often. And sometimes we actually get really confused about this. We meet injustice with injustice, but we feel that we are somehow justified in our injustice because the injustice that caused us to be justified about the injustice that we're now bringing was the first one and started it. And then 700 years before Jesus, there's this picture of who Jesus would be. Listen to this in verses 2 and 3. He will not shout or cry out or raise his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break. A smouldering wick he will not snuff out. God is somehow, through Jesus, going to do something about the wrongs. He's going to right the wrongs and the injustices, but he's not going to do it with a sledgehammer. He's not going to do it in the same way that we tend to approach these things in the world, in a broken world, in a hurt world. He's going to do it quietly. He's going to do it in a way that will not break others and bring others down. Instead, actually, we know that the way Jesus does it, don't we? He actually allows himself to be broken. He allows others to cry out at him and accuse him. He allows others to snuff him out. Christmas is about Jesus and his way of doing things. This way of peace, this way of joy, this way of justice. And you might look at that and go, well, Jesus is a wimp. He's not like Superman. He's not like Batman. He's not like Wonder Woman. How is he going to do this? But in the passage, it makes it clear. In verse 1, it says he will bring justice to the nations. In verse 3, it says he will bring forth justice. In verse 4, he says, until he establishes justice on earth, he is going to right the wrongs. That's why he's coming. That's why we celebrate him being here. And the passage gives us a little bit of a glimpse into some of this. And we see this in Jesus' life when he does come 700 years later, a light for the Gentiles, to open eyes that are blind, to free captives from prison, to release from the dungeon those who sit in darkness. I love the voice translation that Daryl read. They're going to come out blinking because they've been in the darkness. This is what Jesus does. This is why he came. To bring peace, to bring joy, and to bring justice. That those who are captive, those who are in the dark, might find light. They might find a lightness in their existence in him and who he is. But notice there's this little bit at the beginning there that I sort of skimmed over. I will make you. You see, Jesus is going to come and do this. He's going to put this into motion, but he's going to do it and invite us to be like him. He's going to be a light to the Gentiles. Gentiles just means the nations. It just means those out there. Jesus is going to be a light to everybody out there. And he calls us to be that light as well. He's going to open the eyes of blind. Jesus did that to those who were physically blind, but Jesus also did it to those who were spiritually blind. And that's what he calls us to do, to free captives from prison. And sometimes those captives are actually in a prison. They're actually in a dungeon in the darkness, but sometimes they're just people who are lost and confused and broken and hurting. And Jesus has something to offer them. But he also calls us to offer to others what he has offered to us. There's a few other little snippets in Isaiah 42 that point us to Jesus. Probably the one that may be one that we all recognize first is in actually verse 1. It says, "Here is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen one to whom I delight. I'll put my spirit on him." You'd know what that would be a reference to if you know the story of Jesus and the Gospels and when Jesus was baptized. Do you remember? And as Jesus is being baptized, we're told the Spirit comes down on him. And there you go. It says, "I'll put my Spirit on him." And as the Spirit comes down, there's this voice from heaven that says, "This is my Son in whom I'm well pleased, in whom I'm a delight." And so we're reminded this morning, from 700 years before Jesus came, that Jesus would come, that he would be special, that he would have God's Spirit, the Father's Spirit in him. But there's this reality of these words to Jesus as well that I always like to apply, not just to Jesus, but to me as well, and I encourage you to apply them to you. That idea that we have a Heavenly Father who sent Jesus because he wanted you to know his love and to understand that you are his son or daughter yourself. And that he looks upon you and says, "You are my son, you are my daughter, in whom I am well pleased, in who I delight." So this Christmas, I want to encourage you to be reminded of the peace and the joy and the justice that Jesus brings as the one who breaks the power of sin and death, the one who reminds us of God's love for us, and the one who reminds us that God is enough and that he is here and that he brings peace and joy and justice. There often is something that stops us holding on to that and walking in that reality. And it could be this for you or it might be something else, but one of the things is often the view of our own earthly father. When we think of our heavenly father, we don't necessarily always think that our heavenly father would have good things for us, because maybe our earthly father struggled to give us good things. But there's this beautiful little picture. It's in verse 6. I don't know if you picked up on it. It stood out for me. There's this idea that we have a heavenly father who has sent us Jesus because ultimately he wants this relationship with us, this connection as a father does to a child. He wants to hold our hand. He wants to walk with us. He wants to guide us. He wants to walk with us. And the idea of holding our hand is an interesting one, isn't it? Because I just remember having had kids and now grandkids and being 6'4", that sometimes when a kid can walk and they want to hold your hand, it can actually be quite uncomfortable to do that. Because you sort of got to get down to their level, don't you, to hold their hand. And that's what God does in Jesus. He comes down to our level. He gets born in a stable as a baby, just like every single one of us here was. He experiences what every single one of us here has, and he chose to. So he could be down at our level, so he could hold our hand. And so Merry Christmas. I wish you a Christmas full of peace and joy and justice, and a Christmas full of Jesus. He is enough, and He is here. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your love for us, as seen in Jesus. I pray, Lord, that this Christmas we would know You, that we might experience Your peace and the joy that comes from You, and also the justice that You bring. And I pray, Lord, that You would keep us safe over this Christmas time and help us to walk closely with You, that we might have a sense of You holding our hand, in Jesus' name. Amen.